This podcast is hosted on podhome.fm, an intelligent podcasting platform that you can use to host unlimited shows and episodes and have unlimited downloads. Podhome comes with many intelligent features, like Podhome AI, which automatically creates transcripts, chapters, suggests titles, show notes, detects people, and creates clips. You can use Podhome AI unlimited for all your episodes and all your shows. Go check it out and start your free 7-day trial at podhome.fm.
Premillennial, pre-tribulational, dispensational, independent, and standing on the inspired, preserved Word of God, the King James Bible as our final authority, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Joseph Russiello. Take your Bible, sit back, and join us as we open and study the Word of God. And now, here's your host.
Well, hey there, folks. This is Joe Russiello, and it is great to be with you once again as we open up and study the precious Word of God, your King James Bible. And you know, folks, as always, wherever and whenever you find yourself listening to us, it's always, always, always my prayer that you also find yourself in the grace and in the mercy of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. All right, and welcome once again, folks. We are live from the Asylum Studios from the pimple on the backside of Texas, the beautiful city of Eagle Pass. And, folks, it is a beautiful day here in Eagle Pass. The sun is shining. You have white, billowy clouds above. It's a beautiful day for a podcast. And, you know, folks, I hope that you made it out to church today, and I trust that your pastor brought you a message that set a fire in your heart for his word, that set a fire in your heart for the Lord, and that renewed that and refreshed that burden that we should have for the lost souls that we come across each and every day. Folks, I hope you've had a great and a relaxing weekend so far. And, you know, for those of you that are in the path of the eclipse tomorrow, are you excited about it? Are you? I mean, there's so much commotion about it. Like earlier today, I had to put in an order at my local supermarket, and they actually have a banner at the bottom of the of their app that says, orders and deliveries might be delayed due to eclipse traffic. I mean, come on, really? There sure is a lot of excitement for about 4 minutes of darkness, don't you think? I mean, look, I get it though. I do get it. I understand it. This doesn't happen often. This is like a once in a every 70-something year occurrence. I get it. I totally get it. But you know, there's a lot of nut jobs out there too that are trying to connect things to it. Like for example, I saw something on I think it was Twitter or X, whatever, and they're trying to connect the 4.8 magnitude earthquake that hit New York and New Jersey and some parts of Pennsylvania the other day with the eclipse of 4.8. So 4.8, 4.8. Well, you know, I was thinking, 4.8 earthquake, the eclipse on 4.8. Hey, did you know something? You know, my dad's birthday is 4.8. Wow. I'm sure it's just a coincidence though, right? Like, hundreds and thousands of other people in the world have a birthday the same day too, right? But, you know, what really distresses me about the whole thing, and to be quite honest with you about it, what distresses me is, you know, all of the Christians that are on social medias right now, it's talking about it's a sign, it's a sign, it's a sign, it's a sign. Folks, if you are claiming to be a Bible-believing Christian, let me remind you of something. Let me remind you of what the book says. The book says that an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And then in another place, the Lord calls it a wicked and adulterous generation. But then again, is that not where we are? Is that not where we are? And believers and Christians that are falling into this, you know, they're going right along with it. Because as Bible believers, as blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing Christians, we really ought not be seeking after a sign. We live by faith, not by sight. Amen? But, you know, I'm going to stop there because that's really not the message of the day. Life is both sunshine and shadows. And that's what we'll be experiencing on tomorrow, on the 8th. Sunshine and shadows. It has its light spots and it has its dark spots. It has its hills, its mountains, and its valleys. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to examine some of the valleys that we need to familiarize ourselves with from the perspective of God's holy word. And we're going to take a look at those in just a moment. But before we do, as usual, I'm going to ask you to do just a couple of things for me, a couple of quick things. First of all, head over to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com. And when you get there, head over to our contact section. And why don't you send us over a message? Let us know whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, any questions, comments, cares, or concerns that you might have. And also, don't forget to send over those prayer requests. You know, we are building up our prayer list. I wanted to have it ready for today, but unfortunately, I don't have it ready for today, so we'll pick it up on Thursday. Just know that as you send your prayer requests in, I am praying over these things right along with you. So please, don't forget to send those over. Now, if you don't like to use the web form, totally understand that. That's why we set up the email address. You can always email me directly at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. And also, while you're on the website, if you would, please look for the Support This Show tab or button on the homepage. You know, we are a value-for-value podcast. And if these podcasts and these live broadcasts have been a blessing to you in any way, you want to you've received value from what we're doing here, and you want to contribute in kind to that, well, value for value is the way to do it. And you have the three T's of value for value. You have your time, your talent, and your treasure. You can contribute your time, your talent. And the example I always use is Mr. Producer, because you know he donates his time and his talent to help us move this thing along. And we've made, you know, for every little step back that we take, we do take another step or two forward, and that's a blessing because he's able to do stuff for us that I'm not able to do. Not only because I may not have the particular skill set for it, but I don't really have the time for it. You know, when we're preparing to do these shows, just think that, you know, to do one show takes me, because I had to have, you know, I have a regular job that I work 8 to 10 hours a day. I'm on call pretty much 24/7. So even on my days off, I still have to be available to run to work if there's an emergency or something pops up. Plus, I have the obligations to my house and my two kids, my dogs, you know. So it takes me to do one, to prepare for one show, it takes me about 6 to 8 hours of study and preparation. And I hope that shows in the lessons that we've been providing. But so being that I do two shows a week, you got to at least double that. So it takes a lot of time to do this. And having Mr. Producer helping us out, taking care of these things like running the website and doing research and pulling information together for me. Like just before the show started, I had mentioned to him earlier today that there was I'm having a problem with one of the pieces of software that we use to load playlists. I don't know if you've noticed it, but the volume, it plays around a lot. It bounces around a lot, kind of pulsates, a little distorted. That's because there's a conflict between the media player that I use and my mixing board. So we had to figure out a different way to do that. Did that this morning, and while I was working on that, he was researching to find alternatives. You know, that is a huge support. That's a huge blessing for me, and I hope it translates to you as well. So he contributes his time and his talent. And he also, you know, takes time away from his family to do these things. It's not just our podcast that he's working on. He's working on numerous others, plus his own projects, plus his regular work. So, you know, he's donating and contributing his time and his talent to do this. But you could also donate your treasure. You can contribute your treasure. And you can do that in by doing a monthly recurring contribution through PayPal, which is extremely helpful to us. You know, it's kind of like it really does help us do the things that we need to get done. Or you can make a one-time contribution in any amount that you like. We also accept cryptocurrencies like Satoshis. So we're set up with a wallet for that. So you can contribute that way. Some of the modern podcast apps that we're on, you can send boosts through those apps of Sats as you're listening to the show. All of that stuff helps. All that stuff helps. And I know Satoshis are just a few pennies, but it helps. Every little penny helps because we do so much with it. You know, we purchase Bibles for folks that need them, that ask for them. We send money out to missionaries that are actively serving in the field. We pay to keep the platforms going. You know, we have to pay for our stream. We have to pay for the website. We have to pay for all of these different things that come through. Plus, we're also in the process of recovering from storm damage at the studio. You know, and we're just about there. You know, and we're trying to raise some extra funds through contributions to get it done because we're still working with insurance, trying to get that resolved. And unfortunately, it's not looking good. It looks like it's going to be a loss in that regard. But, you know, we're doing the best we can to get things going again. And, you know, so your contributions really do help. They really do sustain us. They really are an important part of what we're doing here. So, again, if you've gotten a blessing, if you have any value in what we're doing here and you'd like to be considered a producer for the show, you know, a contribution of $16.11 gets you a shout out and gets you that associate producer title. So you can help us out in that way. We would love it to have you on board to help us out, especially Mr. Producer himself, our chief executive producer. I just promoted you, brother. So our chief executive producer here needs help. And we'll talk about that a little bit more toward the end of the show when we go through our shout outs. All right. Now, again, so if you want to contribute, please pray about it. If the Lord leads you to do it, we would be extremely thankful to receive your support. All right. Now, first of all, at this particular point, I always like to stop just really briefly and just to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he has blessed me in so many ways. And if I could sit here and just count them all off to you, you know, how that old song goes, you know, name your blessings or count your blessings, name them one by one. We'd be sitting here for years, if not more, because there are just so many things that God has done for me, not only through his direct work, but through moving people around that I come in contact with and that I've met along the way. Folks that have shown us so much support and so much attention, so much, you know, I want to say love too as well. It's a blessing. It's an absolute blessing. And the most important thing though, that I always want to give thanks to the Lord for is the gift of salvation. You know, God, I'm not going to go through my whole testimony again. I've done it many, many times already, but you know, 23 years ago, I was searching, I was looking for the Lord. And, you know, and this is a Bible principle in Romans chapter 1. You know, if a man is diligently searching for the Lord, God is obligated to get the word to him. And God orchestrated and moved pieces around the playboard just to get my attention. And boy, did he ever. I know, I've told you already, you know, I got saved shortly after listening to a Bible study radio program on an AM station in New York City. And the preacher was teaching and preaching a message on hell and who's going there. And it just, to me, it just seemed like at the end of every sentence, it was, hey, I'm talking to you, Joe. Joe, this is for you. You need to do something here, Joe. You know, and don't misunderstand. I don't mean it was an audible voice. You know, we know that the Lord doesn't communicate with us that way, that he communicates us through his word, but he can use the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit can lay those impressions on you and drop those thoughts in your heart and drop them in your mind and you know, you would just kind of ponder those things. And man, he got my attention. It literally scared the hell out of me, and to the point where I eventually made that phone call and met with that pastor. And he led me to the Lord right there in the middle of downtown Manhattan, lower Manhattan, on the Canal Street and West Street, on the third bench off the gate at Pier 34. Never forget it. Changed my life. It changed my life. Now, have I lived the perfect Christian life? No, absolutely not. And I'll never live that, and neither will you. You know, you're a sinner. You may be a saved sinner, but you're still a sinner, you know. And I don't chuckle at that as it's funny. It's just it's the way it is. But 23 years ago, he called me, and I responded to the call, and I got saved. I got down on my knees on that pier, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, to wash me with his precious, perfect, sinless blood. Because don't forget what the Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary wasn't just ordinary blood. It was God's blood. God himself shed his blood for you, because that's who Jesus Christ is. That's what the book tells us. He is God manifest in the flesh. So when he was on that cross and he was dying for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world, he wasn't shedding human blood. He was shedding God's blood. All he asks is that you put your full faith, trust, and confidence in his blood as being the all-sufficient payment for your sin. It's really very simple. It's absolutely, and it's something that I honestly and truly believe that when a person who dies without Jesus Christ closes his eyes here and opens his eyes in hell, that's one of the things that's going to become a stark reality to him. And that is exactly how simple it was to not go to hell. That it wasn't your baptism. That it wasn't praying to saints. That it wasn't your particular church or denomination. It wasn't doing any rituals or taking sacraments or anything of that. It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ applied to your account to pay for your sin debt. And that's all it is. And all he asks is that you believe him and that you trust him, that that's sufficient. Putting your full faith, trust, and confidence in that. So I am incredibly thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for the gift of salvation. I'm also thankful to the Lord for giving me the opportunity to serve him in this capacity here with this podcast. This podcast has been such a blessing for me. I have met some incredible people over the almost 2 years that we've been doing this. 2 years, almost 50,000 plays and downloads combined between the different host platforms that we've been on over the 2 years. It's just an unbelievable experience. It's a platform that God has given me, and you know, and this, again, this podcast has been heard all over the world. I mean, there are places that, you know, every now and then I'll look and see to see where, you know, we have any new listeners in, where, you know, location, countries and regions and whatnot. And I am amazed at times where I see a place or location and I was like, man, I don't even know where that place, I never even heard of that, you know, and I end up looking it up. And, you know, it's a blessing. It's such a blessing. This thing has been distributed all across this beautiful, fabulous plane that we live on. And it's a platform that God has given us through the podcast here to reach people, to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. What better gift or what better blessing can someone get than that? I also want to say thank you to all of you who have been supporting us through your prayers. Thank you so much for all of your prayer support. It's such an encouragement to me to know that you're praying, and I do appreciate the notes that I've gotten over the last few years about, you know, how much you're praying for us. So please continue to pray for this ministry. Please continue to pray for Mr. Producer Claude. Please continue to pray for my family, for myself, for the podcast as a whole, and all the different things that we're going to be doing in the days and weeks ahead. I think we're making some great progress. I think that we're doing so many different things here and little things that you might not notice, just listening, but things that that will greatly improve our reach to the lost and the dying in this world. So thank you so much for your prayers. Again, thank you all of you who have been supporting us financially from the start, from when we started as on the Anchor platform with recurring monthly contributions through them. And thank you for sticking with us over the last 2 years. God bless you for your financial support. Thank you so very much. You really do help us do everything that we need to get done, and I am so grateful for that. Also want to say thank you to all of our listeners, every single one of you who have been tuning in and listening in faithfully to everything that we've been putting out there. It has been such a blessing to spend this time with you each and every week. And believe me when I tell you, I hate missing a show, and I hate it when I feel like I kind of shortchanged you on something. Like if there were little difficulties that popped up during the course of the show that may not, maybe you don't even pick it up, but I know the mistakes and I know the errors and I know the quality of things. And you know, you to me, and I've told this to several people, you truly are an exceptional audience, and I love spending this time with you. Whether it's live right now, we have quite a few people listening live right now, and thank you for doing that. I really do appreciate that. And of course, for all of those folks that'll be listening later on as the podcast, I look forward to this each week. I look forward to spending this time with you. Not only because we're opening up the Word of God, but because I'm having this great sense of fellowship with each and every one of you. And it is it's just amazing how all this works. And I am so appreciative and thankful to all of you who have been listening, for keeping us up on the charts on the Good Pods platform. We're still holding 5 number one spots. Thank you for that. Being on those charts, no matter where it is on the chart, but being up there on the chart, even in especially in the top 10 on the chart, you know, you attract people's attention. And that's what we want. We want people to listen because we want people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the only way they're going to do that is if they hear it. You have to hear it. So thank you so much for all you're doing. Please continue to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends, your family, and your followers. That way, you'll help us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, don't think for one moment that you're not going to get some kind of a reward for simply sharing this. Because you never know. You might send this thing out to somebody, they may forward it to somebody else, and somebody actually might get saved because of it. And you'll get the credit for that. You'll share in that. And that is a huge blessing. Huge. Absolutely huge. All right. Well, that, believe it or not, we are already 30 minutes in, and we're going to take our first break here, and that'll give me a chance to get set up for the sermon today, and that'll give you a chance to go grab your King James Bible, grab yourself a cup of coffee, and when we come back, we'll be getting into today's Sermon Sunday broadcast, and we're going to be talking about the 5 dark valleys of life. Folks, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast, and we'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Sword of the Spirit podcast on swordofthespiritpodcast.com and podhome.fm.
From Emmanuel's veins, the sinner was plunged beneath the flood, and God saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness, and all of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved.
I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more?
I've received nothing but goodness. I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved.
I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more?
The love of God gave me his pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same.
The love of God pulls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved.
I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I got Jesus, how could I want more?
This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is given to you in life, will be open in the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts. The King James Bible, God's holy book.
Amen. Hey, welcome back to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Joe Russiello. All right, now, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to a very, very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. All right, and this is just as a launching pad, Psalm 23, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, if you have your Bible with you, and if not, you can listen along, and I'm actually hopeful that many of you have that particular Psalm committed to memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, while you're turning there, this past week I was kind of thumbing through a file of old sermons that that I built years ago, like over 20 years ago, when I first got saved, you know. And honestly, a lot of them I'll never preach again. So I was, you know, some of them were going to end up in the trash basket. And then I came across this one particular sermon, and it's not one that I've ever preached. I had it, I developed it, I built it. but it's not one that I have ever preached. And I called it The Five Dark Valleys of Life. And I was almost about to trash it, and it seemed like the Lord was kind of nudging me to take another look at it. And I was like, well, I don't know, Lord. That's not really the way I preach anymore. But he continued to nudge me with this thought. And I mean, I can't claim that God has ever audibly spoken to me, but I believe, like I said earlier, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Holy Spirit has the very adept capacity of putting thoughts in our minds and in our hearts. Don't you think so? And he speaks very loudly to us through his word. But it seems that the Lord said, you know, there may be just one person that's going to listen to this today that needs this. And, you know, sometimes that is the case. Sometimes that's the case. You know, just one person might need this. And so, you know, the longer I thought about it, you know, I sent up one of those Nehemiah prayers heavenward. And you know the Nehemiah prayer, right? Nehemiah prayed what may be the shortest prayer in the Bible. And it was, help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. End of prayer. That was it. And you know something? The Lord did. The Lord did. So I said, you know, Lord, is this something that really needs to be addressed? And, you know, the overwhelming sense was that, yeah, it seems like it is. So now it's loaded with illustrations. And you know, that's typical of a young preacher. You know, you find a text and you have a whole bunch of illustrations and, you know, and that's the nature of this particular sermon. But sometimes an illustration helps paint a picture of the scriptures. And so, you know, we're going to tackle it the best we can. And I am prayerfully hopeful that someone will get a blessing or the encouragement that they might need. Now, I did kind of tweak it just a little bit, and I did take out a few things because they just weren't relevant to today's day and age, you know, considering this written this over 20 years ago. All right, enough of that. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Now, this isn't the sermon, but you need to make sure that your soul has been restored. And that happens through what Jesus called the new birth. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, would you add your blessings to the reading and the examination of your holy word? I pray as we consider today these five dark valleys of life, it may well be that there are, you know, one, if not several folks listening that are encountering those very valleys, and they're struggling and searching for some comfort and some direction and peace of mind and heart. I pray that through the infinite power of the Holy Spirit, those needs may be met today, right here, and we'll thank you. In the name of our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Well, five dark valleys of life. You know, life is both sunshine and shadows. It's mountains and valleys. Now, if you're one of those people that have had nothing but smooth sailing through all of your life, God bless you. God bless you. I'd like to meet you. I'd like to get better acquainted with you. You know, I'd like to kind of rub the top of your head. You know, maybe some of that, you know, maybe I'll gain some of that by osmosis. I don't know. But for most people, life has its hills and valleys. It's light and dark spots. And, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes says it well. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, there are some valleys that we need to, I think, familiarize ourselves with from the perspective of God's holy word. Now, you're in Psalms. Turn back with me one book to the book of Job and go all the way to the front of the book of Job, Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. And in here in Job chapter 2, we're going to be introduced to the first valley of these five. Job chapter 2. And before we start that, let me just grab a sip of my my usual tea here. Wow, this came out really good today. I think I got the balance of the ginger and the lime perfectly right now. So, all right, Job chapter 2 and verse 7. Job chapter 2 and verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Now, I think I had a boil once, maybe twice, and that was uncomfortable. Folks, I can't even comprehend being covered from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet with boils, as it was said of Job. So Job was passing through a valley of sickness and suffering. You know, several folks listening have been through this kind of valley. You know, there are people right now in this audience that are going through or just completed cancer treatments. Several others have gone through it. Some have fared better than others. Now some haven't. But now Job is undergoing this, not because of wickedness on his part, quite to the contrary. We read that that Job was a righteous man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. But God, nonetheless, allowed this particular valley to encounter Job. Well, it's not a sign of his sinfulness, but it's a sign of God dealing with him in a very unusual way. You know, when the United States won its independence from Britain under the military leadership of George Washington, you need to know that he would have been turned down. He would have been turned down flat by the military today. And according to Dr. Rudolf Marx, who wrote in the American Heritage, the 43-year-old general, when he took command of that army in 1775, had previously had attacks of smallpox, influenza, tubercular pleurisy, dysentery, and malaria. And you know something? There's no record during that entire war that he suffered or was incapacitated. And that's quite a list of maladies, wouldn't you say? You know, some Christians would spend so much time complaining they wouldn't have time to fight. You know, they'd be too busy. One of my favorite pieces of classical music is what's often referred to as Handel's Messiah. I think it's a glorious piece of music. But what a lot of people don't realize is that George Friedrich Handel wrote the Messiah after his right side was paralyzed. His health was gone, his money was gone, and his creditors were threatening to imprison him, which they could do in those days. Now, you may be aware of the fact that there, you know, if you served in the military, possibly in the Navy or in the Air Force, you might be aware of the fact that there are literal rivers in the ocean and rivers in the air. Well, I kind of wonder how that was discovered. Well, there was a guy many years ago who was in the Navy. He was a Navy lieutenant, and I think his name was Murray. His last name was Murray. But through an accident, it incapacitated him to the extent that he was nearly crippled, and he was no longer able to serve aboard ship. He did everything possible, everything that he could possibly do to stay in the Navy. And finally, at some point, it was granted to him that he'd be able to stick around. And so here's what happened. For many years, every sea captain was compelled to keep a logbook, and that logbook contained all kinds of interesting facts about their sailing, direction of the winds, the currents, and other similar information. What Lieutenant Murray did was he went to Washington, and stowed away in all these records. I mean, thousands of naval books. He sorted through them all and kept copious records of every event and cataloged them, and then patterned them on maps of the ocean. And he began to realize that, in fact, there were currents and there were rivers in the ocean, And when all of that was applied to naval strategy and information, they figured out that it was saving the Navy 25% of the time it took them to cross various sea lengths. That information came because a guy was disabled, because he was rendered incapacitated, and spent a great deal of his life studying that information. And then, of course, as the military continued to examine that, they said, hey, you know what? There's similar rivers up there in the air. You know, you can get into certain streams of that, and it'll aid and abet your travel. Now, you probably never heard of Nancy Murky. Nancy Murky was an Olympic swimmer many years ago, but she was stricken with polio when she was 10. And the consequences were braces and crutches. But she became a national swimming champion at 19. So the valley of sickness, the valley of incapacitation, the valley of suffering is a valley that God has frequently, throughout the centuries, turned and flipped to the advantage of not only the sufferer, but thousands of others. Just keep trying. Don't give up. Keep trying. Well, there's another valley. Take your Bible and go over to 1 Peter in chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. That's over toward the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's go to verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, God's got a lot to say about trials. You know, the Lord is very cognizant of the fact that not everyone skates through life. You know, some people go through trials, and God utilizes those to his purpose. All right, you're still in 1 Peter. Go to chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. All right, oftentimes when we're confronted with a serious trial, we think, well, what's the average American reaction today? What's the average American reaction to a trial today? Man, I don't need this. I don't deserve this. I really don't need this. And the Lord in heaven says, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, guess what? God's got a different opinion about some of those strange, fiery trials. They're necessary to try our faith. You know, if your faith is going to cave in every time a little trial comes along, it really must not be much in substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God expects to have a tried people. And why is it that God expects to have a tried people? Because after several trials, according to what we just read, we can come through as gold. Fiery trials. You know what purifies gold, don't you? Fire. Fire. You know, there was a lady back in my church in New York, very wise lady. And I like what she said one day. And it's something that I've actually utilized a lot in my thinking and even passing it on to other people. She said, when I was upset by troubles, I would go to the Bible. I wouldn't get very far before I read, and it came to pass. And I would say, bless the Lord, it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. Amen? Well, you say that's probably a misapplication of that verse. Well, I think she got a blessing out of it, and you can too. Amen? It came to pass. A young man was trying to establish himself as a peach grower. And he had worked hard. He invested all he had in a peach orchard. When it blossomed, he just walked up and down through that peach orchard, just admiring the blossoms on those trees, anticipating an unbelievable harvest. And then came an early frost. The next Sunday, the young man that was accustomed to going to church didn't go. And then the following Sunday, he didn't go. And then the third Sunday, he didn't go. Finally, his pastor came to see him, and he said, hey, where you been? He said, well, I don't think I can worship a God that cares for me so little that he'd let a frost kill all my peaches. Well, the old preacher looked at him in silence for just a couple of minutes, and then he finally said, God loves you better than he does your peaches. He knows that while peaches do better without frost, it's impossible to grow the best men without frost. His object is to grow men, not peaches. Amen and amen. You know, I think probably one of the most poignant stories that I've ever read on this subject was about an Ethiopian preacher. You know, Ethiopia is a country that's been just ravaged by war and genocide and it's horrible things. Well, this Ethiopian preacher prayed the following prayer. Almighty God, I want you to listen to this carefully. Almighty God, from the depth of my heart, I plead with thee to send us trouble. That's a hard prayer to pray. That's a hard prayer to pray. I have to be honest. I don't think I've ever prayed that way. Oh God, send us trouble. He went on to say, when our king was exiled, we were in much trouble from the foreign rulers, and that happened to be Italy at the time. The Italians were in a colonial situation over Ethiopia at that time. We had to meet in secret and were in constant danger of our lives. There was a time when we worked in harmony with our fellow Christians. Many a night after I had locked my door and gone to bed, tired from a day's long journey of preaching and teaching, there came a persistent knocking. Lord, how I wanted to sleep, and surely they wouldn't give up. They wanted to be baptized at night. They knew they could be hunted down and imprisoned and beaten, but they said they had seen the Christians' joy, and they too wanted that religion. Every night, there were more and more. We read thy word and talked about it and prayed through the nights. We shared our joy in the Lord. We worked side by side with only one desire, to preach and teach the gospel. Then, Lord, our king came back. The foreign rulers were forced to leave the country. We have peace in our land. We baptize in the daytime. We are not beaten. We meet and pray. Yes, but we are beginning to grow careless in our zeal for thee. Jealousy creeps in and spoils the harmony. Petty troubles take on in large meetings. We are selfish in our ambitions. Dear Lord, send us more trouble, I pray thee, that we may forget ourselves and be so dependent on thee that we have no time to become selfish and jealous of our fellow Christians. For Jesus' sake, amen. What a prayer. What a prayer. And I wonder if America isn't headed for trouble. Well, you just never know what may come from trouble if you don't quit. Have you ever heard of a man named George Whitefield? You should have, because I've talked about him more than a few times. But George Whitefield, he was an English evangelist back in the 1700s who came from England a variety of times and traveled. You know, he traveled the East Coast from New England all the way down to Georgia, preaching meetings, and he was used of God in an incredible and an unusual way. Basically, he was the Billy Graham of his day, no question about it. And George, you know, he had a lot of interesting events that happened to him. Well, on one particular occasion, he was standing on the back of a wagon, and there was a large outdoor audience that he was preaching to, you know, up in the thousands. I mean, just think about that. Can you imagine? Imagine preaching to thousands of people without a microphone. Those guys did it. And then a guy jumped up behind him in the wagon with a pistol in his hand, and he got up right behind George, and he held it right to the back of George Whitefield's head, and he said, if you don't quit preaching, I'm going to blow your head off. Well, George didn't even acknowledge the presence of the guy. He just kept right on preaching. And the guy said again, if you don't quit preaching, I'm going to pull this trigger and blow your head off. And again, George just kept right on preaching. Finally, the guy pulled the trigger. And the gun backfired and blew up in his hand, and he went backwards. George just took a quick look down at this guy writhing on the wagon, and then he just went right on preaching. George Whitefield was a man's man. There's no doubt about it. One time he was going to take an offering to a widow, an offering of about 5 guineas. And this widow, she was incredibly impoverished, and she had several children. So he asked one. He asked a companion to accompany him on horseback to this widow's house. On the road there, they were accosted. All of a sudden, they were accosted by what was then called a highwayman, and you and I would call him a thief, a robber, you know. And he demanded their money, and so George took the 5 guineas out of his pocket and he gave it to the man, and off he went. So then, you know, George said to his companion, "Well, I don't know what we're going to do about the 5 guineas. This woman really needed it." And it wasn't long, and then this guy approached them again. And here he came out of the woods on his horse, and once again, holding him at gunpoint, demanded George's coat because it was better than his. And so once again, Whitfield accommodated him. He took his coat off, and he handed it to the man, and the man handed him his ragged coat, and George put it on. And then they continued down the road. Well, a little while later, they saw the guy coming, and he was coming at them hard, racing out of the woods. And this time they feared for their lives, you know. And so they spurred their horses, and they said that, you know, they thought that he could make this little village before he catches them. So in fact they did. And so at the last minute, the man had to turn aside, fearing that he might be apprehended by the authorities in the village. All of a sudden, George Whitfield put his hands in the pockets of that tattered old coat, and he took out a small package. He unwrapped it. And lo and behold, 100 guineas. 100 guineas. And that would subsidize a widow for many, many months. You know, sometimes we wonder about our trials. You know that God knows exactly what's going on at all times. Now, high in the mountains, you know, we have a pine tree known as the bristlecone pine. And it grows way up there in the higher altitudes. Well, there was a violin maker that was looking for the best wood possible to construct violins out of. And he discovered that if he used the bristlecone pine at the highest elevation, you know, where the trees are kind of bent over in one direction because of the wind and the weather, and, you know, and it kind of blows them down that way. And in other words, it kind of looks like they're on their knees. You know, a lot of times they don't even have bark on one side, you know. That wood, when harvested correctly, produces the best and sweetest resonances that a violin maker has ever produced. Probably just a coincidence. But those trees endure trials, don't they? Constant wind, weather, affliction. Adoniram Judson was a great missionary of yesteryear, and I've read some books on Adoniram Judson, his life, and I am just in awe of this man. Well, when he was dying, news came to him that some Jews in Turkey had been converted through reading the accounts of his suffering in Burma. Adoniram Judson went to Burma as a missionary and had been imprisoned there a number of times. One time, the authorities released him, and Judson immediately requested permission to go to another province to preach the gospel. And the ruler said this: "I am not afraid of my people receiving your gospel, but I am afraid they will notice your scars." It does make a difference, folks. Right? It does make a difference. Well, anyway, back to the story. Judson received news from Turkey that some Jews had been converted because of reading about his suffering. And he said, "This awes me. This is good news. When I was a young man, I prayed for the Lord to send me to the Jews in Jerusalem as a missionary. But he sent me to Burma to preach and to suffer the tortures of imprisonment. Now, because of my suffering, God has brought some Jews in Turkey to the Lord Jesus Christ." What a deal, man. Amen? What a deal. All right, here's another valley. 1 Peter in chapter 4. You should be there. 1 Peter in chapter 4 and verse 13. "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. All right, the valley of persecution. Well, we had the valley of trials. There's the valley of sickness. There's the valley of persecution. In reality, we know little about that in modern day America. We're fully aware of the fact that there are literally millions of Christians in other parts of the world that are regularly persecuted for their faith and trust in Christ. You know, it's against the law to be a Christian in most Islamic countries. Did you know that? And if you do profess the Lord, you'll pay a heavy price. So you have the valley of persecution. You know, all of the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ went through it. Paul, right? Paul was stoned and dragged out of the city and left for dead in Acts chapter 14. Remember that? Yeah, I kind of, when I read that story and I kind of think about that, I get some kind of twisted comfort out of that. All right, and don't think I'm crazy. Just let me explain. They dragged out old Paul out of the city and stoned him for preaching. They thought he was dead, and they left his carcass on the side of the highway. Well, in that interim, Paul had one of those moments that, you know, he described years later in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, one of those like the supermarket tabloid kind of stories, you know, hovering over the operating table. But he said, you know, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. But in a spiritual form, Paul was allowed to go to heaven. And he remarked that the things he saw, he couldn't even repeat. Not necessarily because he was forbidden. He just couldn't find the words to describe it. And, in my imagination, I could just see Paul. You know, and here he is. He's in heaven. And the Lord says, hey, welcome home, good soldier. Just like he did to Stephen, who Paul helped stone in Acts chapter 7. And he looked around and he said, wow, this is beyond calculation, beyond description. I can't even imagine. But about that time, the Lord says, wait, hold the phone, bucko. You ain't staying. Say what? You're not staying. You got to go back. Oh, Lord, please. Yeah, you got to go back. I'm not done with you down there. There's still work for you to do. And so that spirit went back into the body, and he began to move around a little bit, and then he began to become conscious. And you know what that lunatic did? It's the strangest thing. Now, I would think that, you know, in all arenas of human logic, you would say that, you know, he got up and ran the other direction. Well, no, he didn't. He got up and he went right back into the city. You say, well, what was the matter with him? I'll tell you what the matter was. He's hoping they would finish the job. That's what he was hoping for. Did Paul understand persecution? Paul's sweetest epistles were written from the prison cell. John's Revelation was written in exile. Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress came from the Bedford jail. Luther's wonderful German Bible was produced from the Wartburg Castle. All right, and here's another valley. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Folks, there are some dark valleys in life. And if you're not in one right now, hey, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for it. Get on your face before God and say, thank you, Lord. But that doesn't mean that there isn't one around the corner, though. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, and you know why you're looking for that? I just want to say this. I am not aware, obviously, of all the heartache that would be in an audience, you know, the size of ours. I know some of it because of some of the prayer requests that we've gotten in the past and recently. You know, but it might shock and surprise you how many people that are listening that are carrying a heavy burden. A heavy heartache. Not too long ago, I received an email from a man who was telling me about a burden that he was carrying, and it turned out that burden was that he had a daughter that several years prior was murdered. I can't even imagine carrying that burden, that heartache. But he said that the Lord was helping him through it. Amen. Amen. Now, the valley of trial, the valley of persecution, the valley of sickness and suffering. But there's one that people deal with at one time or another, and that one is the valley of doubts. Now, of all the people in the New Testament that Jesus put a grand endorsement on, it's John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." So John was the designated forerunner of Jesus Christ. And that was a preemptive strike that was forecast all the way back in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. So John is a man who walked with God, knew the Lord, preached the gospel of the kingdom, baptized many out in the wilderness. John was a very unusual personality with a great endorsement of God Almighty upon his life. But even John had his doubts. Look right here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison, now John's in prison here, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Well, it wasn't long before this that John pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It was this very John who leapt in the womb of his mother Elizabeth at the presence of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And yet John, in prison, understandably is encountering some doubt. He said, "Are you really the one that we've been anticipating? The one that we've been waiting for?" Now, of course, John is operating under the gospel of the kingdom mentality, and he has full expectations that somehow the Lord's going to renovate the entire political structure of the country and the world, and the Romans were going to be thrown out of Palestine, and once again Israel is going to enjoy the previous kingdom glory that they enjoyed under David and under Solomon. That's the prism he's looking through. He didn't understand about the cross first and the crown next. You know, he didn't have that page in his theology yet. And I'm sure the Lord gives it to him at some point later on. But he's encountering the valley of death. Some people, because of persecutions, because of difficulties, because of problems in life, go through doubts. Is God real? Is God here? Does God hear me? Is God really relevant? How do I know? Well, if John the Baptist went through it, I suppose anybody can go through it. Anybody can encounter that. You know, Thomas went through the same valley after witnessing for 3.5 years the miracles of Jesus Christ. Did he not? And yet that one night in the upper room, he said, "Is it you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Yeah, right here. Put your finger in the wound." Thomas had been, and consequently a term that's utilized even in the secular vernacular, is a doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. He struggled in the valley of doubt after witnessing what you would think would be utterly and absolutely, bedrock convincing to anybody. 3.5 years of the teaching and miracles of Jesus Christ. Most Christians encounter their doubts. It's a valley. It's a valley. And do you know what gets you out of that valley? Light. Light. And there it is, in that book. Light. And then finally, back in our text, the last valley, Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Look with me over in Hebrews 9. Look with me over in Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and chapter 27. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Hebrews 9, 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, both the righteous and the unrighteous go through it. The saved and the lost. "It is appointed unto men to die, You know, medical science, you know, for all of its wonderful advancements and the incredible things science and technology have come up with and saving lives, and we absolutely applaud all of that, don't we? I mean, thank the Lord for it. But for all the advancement in the medical science world, they're still batting zero, aren't they? We still die. For every one person that's born, there's one that dies. It's inevitable. It's inescapable. There is a time appointed unto men to die. And after this, the judgment. You know, some people go to great extremes and they try their dead level best to avoid it. And so what they do is they have their bodies shipped out to Arizona and frozen. You know, and then some people can't afford their whole body, so they just have their head frozen. Yeah, I'm serious. You know, and they do that hoping that somehow, someday, medical science will find a way to resurrect them and bring them back to life. You know something? I've got a better answer for a resurrection. I've got a better one, and it's found over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. Now, there is a time appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, someone listening this year will go through this valley. That's a valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But let me give you the upside of that. Just notice that the psalmist didn't say the valley of the darkness of death. What he did say was the valley of the shadow of death. Folks, words mean things. Words mean things. You see, you have to have a shadow. To have a shadow, you have to have light. Amen? To have a shadow, you have to have light. Didn't Jesus say, I am the light of the world? For a believer, for a Christian, for those who submitted their faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary's cross, acknowledging and recognizing that we all find ourselves, according to the dictates of the Word of God, as broken down sinners. And so we need God for redemption. And he's willing to redeem us by the vicarious work that he did for us at Calvary. And all we have to do is receive that by faith. And when we do, death at its worst for that believer is but a valley of shadows. The shadows may grow long, but they're still just shadows. And the light is out there. The valley of the shadow of death. And then the psalmist went on. I will fear no evil. The good news, folks, is unless the Lord comes, you're going to die. You say, well, what's good about that? There's hope on the other side. There's light on the other side. There's God's love and compassion on the other side. Now, just think about this. Isn't it amazing how many people want to believe in heaven, but not the alternative? Well, you know, God says you need to be saved so you don't have to consider the alternative. Is that not so? Five dark valleys. Five dark valleys. Well, evidently, in God's estimation, all these valleys are necessary. And they all accomplish something. When you consider eternity, when you consider the big picture, the five dark valleys of life God can use. And all he needs is a vessel willing to be used. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preaching and the teaching of your word today. God, we thank you for the authority of your word. Father, we thank you that we have Jesus Christ, the light of all lights. And we do not have to fear death. We do not have to fear persecution. We do not have to fear suffering. We do not have to fear the valleys that are out there in life. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Father, we thank you for all the love, the mercy, the grace that you pour out upon us. Father, we pray that if there's anybody listening today that needed this message today, Lord, that you would minister their hearts, minister to their minds. And Lord, if there's anyone that needs to be saved, Lord, let them find that message here in today's message, and that they would be saved. And we will thank you and we will praise you for it. In the blessed name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, folks. Well, that will take us to our second break of the afternoon. And we'll take this break right here. And when we come back from it, we'll get into our announcements. We'll get into some talk about the socials, some of the new podcasting apps, some get you some shout-outs, and then we'll wrap this thing up. All right, folks, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends, your family, and your followers. That way, you'll help us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Hi, this is Barry of Potthome.fm and the Improving Barry podcast. You're listening to the Sword of the Spirit podcast on swordofthespiritpodcast.com and Potthome.fm.
Who doesn't wish that the sky above us would never turn gray. But life isn't always sunshine. We have times that leave us asking why. And when the clouds roll in and tears begin to fall, there must be a reason for it all.
Redeemer of the rain, the Lord will never waste our pain. He brings beauty out of brokenness and hope to our heartache.
Healing out of every hurt that invades our shattered world.
We never walk through trials in vain. He's the Redeemer of the rain.
Every problem that we face is sifted by the Father through hands of grace. He'll use the sorrow to draw us, to call us closer to His side. It's in the middle of the storm we learn to trust that He is always watching over us.
Redeemer of the rain, the Lord will never waste our pain. He brings beauty out of brokenness and hope to our heartache.
Healing out of every hurt that invades our shattered world.
We never walk through trials in vain. He's a Redeemer of the rain.
Dark days we walk through.
Dark days we walk through.
They leave a path for others,
leading them to the Redeemer of the rain. He brings beauty out of brokenness and hope to our heartache.
Healing out of every hurt that invades our shattered world.
We never walk through trials in vain. We've known His mercy long enough to say, He's the Redeemer of the rain.
Amen. 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 Welcome back to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. That was Redeemer of the Rain by the West Coast Baptist College group, I guess. So good song, though. Really good song and kind of appropriate for what we're talking about today. All right. Well, we are back and we're going to go right on into our announcements. So here we go. All right. Well, we are trying to get ourselves back on track with some continuity here. So we are doing our Thursday night Bible studies every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. For the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks now, we've been going through a study on the indicators of the last days. This past Thursday night, we talked a little bit about the last and probably the most telltale of all of the indicators, and that is this what we call the selfie generation. So we only kind of touched on it briefly. Now, this coming Thursday, we'll do the last of this series, and we'll really dive into the selfie generation, get a little more specific about it. And then we also have our Sermon Sunday broadcast, which we're bringing back up to 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So where can you hear this? Well, you can hear it right here on our website at swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's swordofthespiritpodcast.com. If you're listening, you're probably there already, and if you're not listening on one of the other apps. So you can get us there, or you can find us on fountain.fm, truefans.fm, and Podcast Guru as well for the live broadcast, and then, of course, as the podcast later on. So plenty of ways to listen in. There's really no excuse to miss it. So thank you so much for joining us today on our Sermon Sunday broadcast, by the way. All right, folks, now if you are in the Eagle Pass area and are looking for a good King James Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church, why don't you consider paying us a visit over at First Baptist Church of Eagle Pass. We meet at 664 North Monroe. Our Sunday school hour starts at 10 a.m. Our worship service begins at 11. Our Sunday evening service is at 6, and our Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. Now, for more information, all you need to do is visit the church's Facebook page. And to do that, just head over to Facebook, search for First Baptist Church of Eagle Pass. There's only one, so you shouldn't have a hard time finding it. And once you get there, you're going to find a lot of really helpful information as well as episodes of this podcast. So, again, thank you to the folks at First Baptist Church for allowing us the opportunity to use the church's Facebook page to spread this out. And, of course, we always want to say thank you to our pastor and our great friend John Monk for all of his support, his encouragement, his prayers, his enthusiasm about the show and about the outreach that we get. So thank you so much for allowing us to do this. It's been great. We've gotten a lot of good interaction through the church's Facebook page. All right. Don't forget to sign up for the programming announcements email list. Now, the link is not working on the website, so you have to email me or Mr. Producer. And you can do that at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com or producer@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. And then we'll manually add you to the list until we can get that thing working. It's important to be on the list, to be honest with you, because it's the easiest and best way for us to reach out to you in the event of a programming change, or if we're having a guest, or if we have to cancel the show, or whatever, for whatever reason related to the programming. So make sure you get yourself on the list. Again, it's the easiest way because, you know, we broadcast twice a week, Sunday and Thursday. So between Sunday and Thursday, a lot of things happen and or could happen. And, you know, that's the best way for us to reach you and to let you know what's happening. So great thing about it is first of all, it's free, which means it don't cost you nothing. Second of all, we don't sell or share or do anything with your information. It all stays with us nice and secure. And we're not going to spam you and send you a bunch of stuff you're not interested in getting. So definitely get yourself on the programming announcements email list. It's great to be on there, and it keeps you in the know. All right. How about War Tribe Armory, one of our good friends and partners here. War Tribe Armory, located right here in Eagle Pass at 3037 U.S. 57. You can find them on their social medias at wartribe.armory on Instagram. You can find them on War Tribe Armory on Facebook. And you can also reach them by email at wartribearmory1133@gmail.com. Now, War Tribe Armory is a great bunch of guys. It's veteran-owned and operated. And if you're looking for custom builds, you're looking gun sales, magazines, holsters, trade-ins, or if you're looking for Cerakote or engraving, cleaning, restoration, refinishing, any kind of repairs to your firearm, you can go to the War Tribe Armory, and they will give you the best customer service you can possibly imagine. So you should definitely check them out, especially if you're in the Eagle Pass area. You should be out supporting a local business. Also, they are FFL, so they can handle all of your FFL transfers, which is great because that basically means you can buy a firearm online, and it would ship to them, and then they would be able to transfer that over to you once they receive it. So it's a great place. It's a great bunch of guys. Definitely should check them out. All right, Armory One. Armory One provides Texas license to carry certification and leverages over 30 years of military and law enforcement experience in instructing students in the safe use of firearms. Armory One also provides numerous courses on self-defense with a handgun, active shooter preparedness, home defense, and much, much more. Check out Armory One by visiting their website at armoryone.com, where you can get more information. Now, we did a class a couple of weeks ago over at the ranch. Had a great time. Great bunch of folks were out there. Great attendance for it. Great participation. A lot of fun. We'll be doing another one coming up in the spring, sometime probably in May or June. Not 100% sure yet. We're still working on the details. And I will be sure to let you know when that all comes about. And hopefully we'll get to see you out there and get more folks here licensed to carry and be able to properly defend themselves and their family and loved ones. All right, so that's Armory One, armoryone.com for more information. All right, how about our social media presence? Again, you know, we're growing slowly, which is good. All right, but you can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Getter, Truth Social, Instagram, Rumble, and Locals right now. And you can find us all there at the SOTS podcast. So we look forward to catching up to you there. All right. Let's see. No birthdays today to mention. So we move on to our just little updates here. So as I've mentioned to you before, we're no longer distributing to Spotify, iHeart, and TuneIn. And they didn't take us down for any reason. We voluntarily left them. So and we added on several other platforms through the modern podcasting apps. All right, so three of my favorite ones are Fountain.fm, TrueFans.fm, and Podcast Guru. You should definitely check out these modern podcasting apps. Now, you can find them by heading over to podcastindex.org, or you can go over to modernpodcastapps.com. And there's lists of several of these new modern podcasting apps. They are great. The user interface is great. Quality is great. And it also has all the updated features, like you can listen live on a number of them. And you could also do boosts with cryptos through them as the show is going on. So that's all great. And it's the direction of the podcasting 2.0 direction. That's the way we're going. All right. So you should definitely check those out. And I look forward to seeing you over there. All right, so we've been talking a little bit about, over the last couple of weeks, about these repairs going on at the studio. Basically, you know, we're there, you know, just still just finishing up putting out the acoustic foam and ventilation, because it does get very, very warm in here. The way it was originally built, there didn't leave much room for AC or anything like that. So we're working on that. We have a... We do have a new unit coming in probably, I think it's next week. I think the 11th or 12th should be here, and hopefully we'll be able to get this place nice and comfortable while we're doing the show. Because I'll be very honest with you, I am in a sweat sitting here, and I got the fan, I got a cooling tower going, and I got another fan going over here too. But it does get warm in here, so you might hear some of that hum in the background. I think that's probably from that. But when we get the AC unit, I think it's like a 46 decibel unit, so it shouldn't hear it as much. And we'll figure it all out when it gets here. But we're looking forward to that. And so we're trying to get everything put back together again. And this is the problem that we're having, is that we're going through the contractor's insurance, because a lot of the damage that took place right now is as a result of a mistake that was made by the contractors. So we're trying to get that resolved. We're just kind of hanging on up in the air, waiting for a determination on the insurance. So hopefully that will come through soon, so we can get all of this taken care of faster. As it's going, I'm trying to get it done, so I'm covering a lot of this thing, a lot of these things out of my own expense, and which is fine. It's fine, but you know, we really could use some help. So cue the pitch for the GoFundMe, okay? So we do have a GoFundMe account page up on our website. You can head on over there and find it. I'll put the link to the GoFundMe in the show notes. So if you want to help us out there too, we would appreciate it. And then, of course, it comes down to your contributions. We really do need your donations to kind of keep this thing moving along and get the things done that need to get done. Now, if you want to get your name shouted out, you want to get that associate or assistant producer title, and work along with myself and our chief executive producer, Claude. A minimum contribution of $16.11 through PayPal would be great. We would appreciate that. And then not only do you get your title, but you'll also get your shout-out. Or you can contribute 1611 sats, which would be fantastic as well, to get your shout-out. Unfortunately, with the sats, though, you're not going to get the title because, again, you're talking pennies, right? But you'll get your shout-out and our appreciation for your contribution. So that's how kind of things are going right now. Just so you know as well, any and all donations that we receive, boosts or otherwise, are all being applied to the repair costs here at the studio. So none of it's going in our pockets. We're also using it to purchase the Bibles. Like I said earlier, we're also getting other materials and information available so if folks are looking for that. And also, you know, again, when we can, we try to send some contributions out to active missionaries that are out there that we know of. So this week, I gotta find a track for that. Mr. Producer, can you help me find an announcement theme for that? So our contributions for this week, none. Nobody contributed more than $16.11 this week, so no shout-outs. So I'm going to ask you again, please, if you would, consider a contribution of $16.11 or more, and this way we can get you your associate producer title and also give you a shout-out. All right. Now, another thing that we need some help with, Mr. Producer has been working on a video for a promotional video that we're going to be putting up on the website and across all of our socials. And we need some help with that. So if you have any experience whatsoever in producing video, let us know, and we'll put you in contact with Mr. Producer, and perhaps you guys can help us out. We're just looking for a couple of things to get done on it, just a couple of pieces of footage that we need to get, and we are having the hardest time doing that. We're really trying not to resort on AI to do it for us. We're trying to do this on our own. But if we can't get any help, we're going to end up having to do that because we do want to get this project completed. So all of our producers out there, if you would, let me know if you have the ability to do that. So email me at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. Or you can let Mr. Producer know at producer@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. All right. Well, folks, I do believe that will do it. All right. So just again, thank you for taking the time today to spend with us here at the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Head on over to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com, and click on that contact section. And when you get there, just send us over a message. Let us know any comments, questions, concerns, prayer requests, any kind of message for us. And folks, please keep it clean. Okay. Just trust me on that one. Just keep it clean. All right, and we would really, really appreciate that. And also, when you get over there, don't forget to look for the Support the Show tab, and if you could help us with a donation in any amount, we would really appreciate that. All right, folks, make Bible study great again. Go podcasting, keep a steady stride, and win the lost, no matter the cost. God bless you. Take care.
Happy trails. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Who cares about the clouds?